And as Missy pointed out, there's no amen. That just means that I've made this decision. I want to let you know that for years I said that prayer just the way I just said it to you. And then I went out from here, and I might as well have said the prayer this way. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do my will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them will bear witness to those that I would help of my power, love, and way of life. I'll never forget when I finally saw that I had created a God. That's why God of my own understanding, it was like just a Mary Thayer God. It was the way that, you know, I wanted God to do it my way. Did you ever notice in the third step prayer, it says we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God? It doesn't say our wills and our life. There's no S on will. That's because we only have one will. We're self-willed and riot. But we have many lives in recovery. We have the lives of being employers, employees, parents, sisters, friends. Do you see? And I have self-will run riot in all of those. So it's me that I'm trying to take a look at here. So with that note, once we do that, it has some clear-cut instructions here. There are promises in our big book if you do that. I think that's why some of these promises come true and some people just lay down and don't do any more work, because the promises that they tell are profound. All the promises in this book after each step are internal. I want you to realize they're not necessarily external at all. It's kind of like that promise that he will draw closer to me as, you know, as I draw closer to him, God will draw closer to me. That's a feeling that I get, and I know that it's God. All right. Here's your promises on your third step. When I sincerely make that decision, all sorts of remarkable things are going to happen, because it's like I have a new employer being all powerful. My best friend provided me with what I need. If I keep close to him and perform his work well, established on such a footing, I become less and less interested in myself, my little plans and designs. And more I become interested in seeing what I can contribute to life. Now listen to this. It says, I felt, doesn't say I think, or I just, you know, I felt. That means you're going to feel this. I felt new power flow in as I enjoyed peace of mind, as I discovered I could face life successfully, as I became conscious of his presence, I began to lose my fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. I was reborn. Those are profound promises that when received, sometimes vary. And it tells me, it says, we found it desirable to do this step with other people or whatever. But it says it's better to meet God alone than with one who might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as I expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation. This was only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made an effort, sometimes a very great one will be felt at once. So you will, once you decide to do this. Now, what I'm going to tell you, we're in a workshop. If this was a workshop, this would have been Friday night, and I would have gone on a lot more, wouldn't we have, Missy? And then we would have said, okay, we just did the third step prayer. So what I would like to do is I would like to have a 10-minute break. And those people here, first of all, if you have one area that you realize that you might want God to bring you to a deeper place, you can just try this with a simple thing. As I always say in these workshops, if you have a neighbor whose dog poops on your lawn and you hate them, do it on that. Don't do it on your worst problem, but some little irritant that you're always finding that you're, you know, that type of thing. Try these 12 steps and see if you, it doesn't mean if we're going to do this thing that you're going to do anything but admit something. I will go on more with that. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. For those who want to do this and you feel as though that you can deal with a power that's a best friend and you feel safe with, say this prayer to that presence, okay? And then I'll show you how to do what you need to do in your fourth step. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Hello, Liz and Imelda.
Oh, hi, how are you, Vaughn? Is this?
This is so cute on the couch, and you're still up. and then you disappear, and the dog comes out.
Yeah. Liz has had to go to bed because she's got work in the morning. It's 11 p.m. here, but I'm enjoying it so much. I'm going to keep going with the work. It's amazing.
Do you know that we record everything and it will be available for free listening?
Yeah. Liz has said now she'll pick it up on the recording, but I'm in the zone, so I'm going to try and. I'm quite uncomfortable with some of the questions that's been asked, so that's always a good place to be. So.
Let's start again. I wanna start with this set aside prayer, which I do at beginning of each session. So God, please help me to set aside everything I know and everything I think I know about myself, the 12 steps, this workshop, and you, God, so that I may have an open mind, an open heart, a new experience, and please let me see the truth. Thank you. All right. So for you that have a big book, I'm going to be reading off of the bottom of page 63 through page 65. And I'm going to start introducing how you can apply the fourth step, the fearless moral inventory, in regard to any area of your life that you'd like maybe to take a look at what's blocking you from feeling the presence of God in it. All right. So it said, once I've done this third step prayer, that next at the bottom of page 63, it says, next, I launched out on a course of vigorous action. And I always stop and I say, those are strong words. They really are. It doesn't say, next, I talked about the fact I took a third step and everything's fine. And blah, blah, blah. It says, no, it says that I launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is personal housekeeping, which means to many of us that we've never even attempted this. I hadn't attempted to take a look at a house cleaning in regard to this. How would I have ever done anything with a pandemic and never lived through one? Though my decision was a vital and crucial step, meaning the decision in the third step prayer to ask for God's care on this, it could have little permanent, it won't be permanent. This feeling, these promises won't be permanent unless I am once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in me that are blocking me. So this is about what's blocking me in regard to this. See, this for us alcoholics, it says our liquor was but a symptom. I had to get down to the causes and conditions. So what's the cause and condition of my reaction to the pandemic? What's the cause and condition in regard to my mother's cat, if I wanted to do that? Or in regard to my child, what's going on there? I mean, Missy and I have brought this thing through everything. Missy, I'm going to jump on you. I hope you're going to be okay on this. Missy and I did these for years, and she would demonstrate her current situation with her husband at the time. Then finally one year, we both looked at each other and we said, well, let's do it differently. And the reason we did is because what I'm going to read you next. All right. It says, therefore, I started upon a personal inventory. So, and it talks, it gives us a little demonstration. If we were a business, what would be happening? A business which takes no regular inventory. That's a hint, everybody. You don't do one of these and then for the rest of your life, just sit around because you'll go broke. All right. So a business takes no regular inventory will go broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. So that means that's what's going to happen here. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. One object is to disclose damaged and unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values, about his principles and values. I did exactly the same thing with my life. I took stock honestly. And then for us, and the way this book reads for me, it says, first, I'm going to search out the flaws in my makeup, which caused my failure. Now, I know that the Al-Anon, and I'm grateful, and I've done it that way too, looks for the good and the bad. Unfortunately, for me, I'll give you an example. I thought my sponsor even brought that out to me. She says, your giving is a wonderful quality, but it's not an asset. It's a liability to the extent you give. I finally heard that. I finally realized there was nothing wrong. I really am a giving person, but to the extent I give, it was a liability in my life. And it went against a lot of things for me. So we're supposed to search out the flaws in my makeup, which caused my failure. Being convinced that myself manifested in various ways was what has defeated me, I considered its common manifestation. So I'm looking for a common manifestation in what area of my life in regard to how I'm living in this pandemic for me at this time. Or it could be as a parent or whatever your inventory, doesn't make any difference to me. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys me more than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual dis-ease, for I have been not only mentally and physically ill, I have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, I straighten out mentally and physically. Now I want you to hear that. Spiritual malady is overcome, more than likely I'll have emotional sobriety, won't I? Very interesting how this is woven into all the lines, and it's fascinating to me. So in dealing with my resentments now, it tells me I'm going to set them on paper. So for a long time, I just talked about things. I didn't think I had to write. So for you people who want to do this workshop and want to do something, I hope you have a piece of paper, all right? Because you're going to set this on a piece of paper. And I'm going to show you what I did with the pandemic. So it'll be a demonstration someday down the line. You might want to pick it up and take a look at it. You might not. It's up to you. So if you're willing to search diligently within, remember, if you wish, then you can join us on this broad highway. So when the spiritual malady is overcome, I straighten out mentally and physically. And dealing with my resentments, I set them on paper. Now listen to this. I list people, institutions, or principles with whom I am angry. That's why I'm doing the pandemic. It's a big thing. It's like an institution. It's like a principle. It's like something out there. All right. Missy and I, she did Jack forever. And then we sat and she said, why don't we do the institution of marriage? Do you know that when she did that, she found out the exact nature. Do you hear the thunder? The exact nature of her wrong. She saw the cause of her condition in a marriage because of the values. You see, when I heard about this, you know, we're going to do a fearless moral inventory, my sponsor's husband said, oh, you're going to find out what your morals and values are, not your parents, not your society, not your priests or your rabbis, but what your values and principles are and where you're going against them. When she did this inventory on her marriage, she found out that she was trying to live by her parents' morals in a marriage, not her morals with the husband that she had. Correct, miss? Mm-hmm. And that was a shift for her to have probably one of the best marriages, a demonstration. And I watched it all the way along the line. But those two were equal, loving companions. a demonstration of what this program is, that can be done when there shouldn't have been anything that happened there. But she moved into another area. And that's what happened here, didn't it, Miss?
It did.
Went right from God. I didn't know what was going to happen about a year or two into that. And then absolutely opposite.
Well, the problem was that I had never been married in sobriety.
Yeah, true.
So I had no really understanding of what that meant. So I was relying on, I'd been married twice when I was drinking, which was, you know, water seeks its own level. They weren't great situations ever. Had about a couple of kids, one from each. I mean, it was horrendous. And I, you know, talk about this emotional sobriety and dependence. I was very dependent on somebody that was going to take care of me. Like my mother had been taken care of by her alcoholic husband, my father. So I grew up in that whole Mad Men era where my mother didn't even have a checking account. So I was always looking for someone to come along and take care of me. And when I got into sobriety and I married in sobriety, a wonderful man, you know, the love of my life, honest to God. And he was very, very involved in AA. He died at 47 years. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was counting on all my survival skills and what I needed from this marriage, what I thought I needed. So along the line, Mary said, how do you know how to be married in sobriety? I said, well, so I got a little defiant. I have to always say that I was always happy to see Mary go back to Maine many times. I'd say goodbye to her. I'd see the back of her head leaving my driveway. I'd say, good. And I'd go do what I wanted to do. But that soon caught up with me, of course. But I didn't know. I had no clue how to be in a relationship that was loving. Because I was frightened all the time. And so I kept doing it on him because it was his problem. That was the problem, honest to God. That was the problem. And then I wasn't getting anywhere. And I decided that maybe the marriage, the institution of marriage was what I needed to look at that. What is that? And the way I grew up was chaotic and crazy and alcoholic. So that was my frame of reference. And boy, there was a lot of things I had to do. A lot of things I had to change with God's help. So, yeah.
Wait, 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 wait. What's that noise? Was I getting feedback? Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay. So the way we do this inventory is going to give you an idea of it. So in our big book, it tells me that I'm to list people, institutions, or principles. Please hear me on this. All we have to do is list it. It does not say we list and figure out how to make it well. It doesn't say that. So take you right off the hook. All you have to do is list this stuff. You don't have to think, I've got to fix. You don't have any power. Lack of power is your dilemma. If you're, you need a God to change you. You don't have the power to change. All right? So all you're going to do is list whatever you're upset with. Then you're going to ask yourself. So I'm going to ask myself, am I angry at these things? Have I found that my self-esteem, my pocketbook, my ambitions, my personal relations, including sex, has been hurt or threatened? That's why I'm sore, I'm burned up. On my grudge list, I'm going to set opposite each name. My grudge is the pandemic. So then I'm going to set opposite on the next column. Why? You know, is it my self-esteem, my security, my ambitions, my personal relationships, sex has been interfered with? See, it tells me this a couple of times. So it gives me an idea on what I'm going to write about. So they give an example in our big book, and it says, so your first column, for you that are writing, all you'd write down is, let me find what I'm doing, because I have a tendency of not knowing what I'm doing, and usually these gals are here at a workshop and set me straight, but yeah, my God, I found it. What?
I'm interrupting for a moment. I've taken a picture. I don't know how else to do this. I'm trying to get that column to the people. Do you want, I took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook. I could put the link in the chat.
Okay, I can take a picture of it also, but I don't want them to see it first or it'll scare them. Okay.
Okay. Whenever you want me to hit send, I can. It's on my Facebook. I probably won't leave it up there very long.
And you got to remember these Al-Anons. They'll be trying to figure it out before I finish. So okay. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I want you guys just to do, follow direction. Just pretend you're just a little kid and I'm some weird teacher and you can just write down anything because you don't even have to pass the paper in. Nobody's going to grade you. Nothing. Okay? Let's take this off any having to do thing. All right? Let's just be little kids. Just da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I'll try this. And so this is what you're going to do. You're going to take your first column. I'm just going to show you. I did this, okay? And these are my first three columns, and I'm going to tell you what I wrote. I wrote pandemic in the first column. I'm resentful at the pandemic. I'm resentful at the COVID, the 19. I just don't like this thing. Now, your next column, all right, says the cause. And the demonstration in the book has little bullets. It's like they have Mr. Brown. Why are you upset with Mr. Brown? His attention to my wife. See, there's little bullets. Told my wife of my mistress. Brown may get my job at the office. See, these are bullets. They're not long books. You don't have to write a book here. This is just a little list. When you get with your sponsor, it'll trigger you to tell the whole friggin' story on why you have this down here. Don't worry about it. As I say to my Juana, you are a true Al-Anon. You go on and on. Anyway, so here we go. Pandemic. What don't I like? Why am I upset with it? I can't go out. I had to cancel my trip to Maine, to Canada, to Detroit, to Colorado, to New Mexico. I don't like the lack of freedom to be with my friends for coffee or dinner. I don't like that. No. I don't like the fact about having to find a place to live because I can't go anywhere now because of the pandemic. And my daughter's moving into my house. I didn't like that at all. This was written before that solution God gave me, but I'll tell you about that later. All right. They were coming on May 1st. I was supposed to be doing this traveling. So I don't like the fact of not being able to go to meetings or to conventions. I don't like that. I didn't like these damn Zoom meetings. What was this all about? I had so much contempt prior to investigation on these things. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like how it affected my daily routine. I didn't like that I had fear now to do normal things like pump gas or go to the shopping centers. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like I couldn't find any toilet paper. I didn't like the fact I couldn't find Lysol spray. I mean, I didn't like about the finances, the costs. There was a lot of talk about a stock market and, you know, also, just going to the bank to get cash. I mean, you have to address, I don't know. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if they were going to close. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the fact that when my family did arrive to live here, that I would have, I was frightened. They live in Washington, for God's sakes. What germs are they bringing to my house? You know, it's like that idea. I didn't like that I'm 76 years old and I have lung issues and that I'm a compromised health risk. They kept saying that. I did not like that at all. That's all I did. I just listed, that's all I did. And the reason I decided to do this is because I found that I kept complaining. If I talked to Miss Seaweed, I'm like, this is going on. I just kept going over and over and over again about poor Mary Thayer. And what did this affect? So your third column. So all I have to do is say, what does this affect? Not being able to go out, and my cancellation of trips, and not knowing where I'm going to live while my daughter's here, and, you know, all this other stuff. So it affects my, and in the book here, they give you that. Does it affect your, what's affected? Your self-esteem, pocketbook, ambitions, personal relationships, including sex, security, your emotional and physical security. Every single one of those things are affected. Do you know that? Every single one of those things. With this problem that I had, my self-esteem, on where I'm living, what I'm, you know, what's happening, not knowing all this stuff, my pocketbook, if I have to rent a place, if you know, I don't have, all these things came up to me. Ambitions, my ambitions. Yeah, I have ambitions on how to spend the summer. And they sure were not quarantined. Although if you have to be quarantined in Florida, it's a good place to live. Look, it's what I get to see. But other than that, you know, it's still, I've never been in Florida in the summer. I don't necessarily think I want to do this every year, but it's bearable. So my personal relationships, absolutely. It affected all my personal relationships. My sponsees that I come and stuff, we can't even give each other a hug. We can't even go to a, we can't go to a meeting. It's craziness like that. All my personal relationships, including sex. Now, I'm not necessarily, I'm not married now, but I'm telling you, if I was married, it would be affecting my sex life because my husband would have to be hearing about all the trials that I have. And definitely it is interfering with my sex life. My security, absolutely. Physical, yeah. My health issues, yeah, it affects those. Emotional, absolutely. Frightened, a lot of fear, a lot of, that's, turn on the television, that's all we got, fear going. Mm-hmm. So this affected everything in my life, this little thing about the pandemic. So now, having done those first three columns, they have a whole bunch of little things that they say before you do more work on this. In the old days, I used to think it was just three columns. It isn't. In fact, that's nothing. It just tells you what you're upset about. So I went back through my life. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. So for you people, that's all you have to do for your first three steps, okay? Just why you're upset with this, if, I'll tell you, it'll affect every part of your life. Just write down self-esteem, ambitions, that's all. You don't have to do any more. Some people move more on this column, but my big book doesn't, so I don't do it. I do it later, as you will see. All right, so now it's telling me nothing counted but my thoroughness on why I was upset with the pandemic. When I'm finished, I consider what I've written. The first thing that is quite evident is that this world with a pandemic are really quite wrong. The people, everything, quite wrong. No. To conclude, this pandemic was wrong is usually as far as I got. Yeah, I just kept complaining about it. The usual outcome was is that the pandemic continues to wrong me and I'm staying sore. Sometimes I'm remorseful and it, excuse me. Sometimes it was remorse and then I was sore at myself. And the more I have fought and tried to have my own way on how to do this pandemic, the worse matters have gotten. It's kind of like war. I'm only seems little moments of triumph are very self-lived in regard to anything to do with this pandemic. Once I get settled on what I'm going to do, I think, okay, this is it. And the next day it isn't. I just find out it isn't. It's plain that my life, which includes a deep resentment about this, only leads to futility and unhappiness to the precise extent that I permit these feelings about the pandemic? Do I squander the hours where I might be worthwhile or helpful to others? And for me, the alcoholics, who hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. This is why. It can be almost fatal to me. Why? Because when I'm harboring these feelings, I shut myself off from the sunlight of the spirit, of what this presence, this feeling of safety, I shut myself off from it. And insanity can return, and I could drink again. And for me to drink is to die. So if I'm to live, I have to be free of this anger, especially about this pandemic. The grouch and the brainstorm, you know what a brainstorm is? It's that gerbil that goes around in my head constantly. It's not for me. It may be the dubious luxury of my neighbor over here, but for me, it's poison. Now, here's the answer that I started to see where things could turn around. It says, I turn back to the list where it holds the key. So the list that I just did on what was the cause and how it affected me is going to hold the key to how I can shift, all right? It tells me I began to see the world and the pandemic are dominating me. And in that state, the wrongdoings, whatever, fancy to real, doesn't make any difference. Actually, a power to kill my spirit or my soul. How can I escape? I see that the resentment must be mastered, but how? I can't wish it away any more than I could have wished away alcohol. So this was my course. I had to realize that. And it goes on about the symptoms that I see that a lot of people are feeling and so forth. You know, this could be, it disturbs me sometimes with seeing a lot of how people are reacting in this pandemic, but perhaps they're spiritually sick. What if they really are, you know? I have to ask God how I can show them tolerance, pity, and patience, and which I would give to a sick person. This is, by the way, the fear prayer for us. Mm-hmm. When a person is offended, I say, no, this could be a sick person. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. I have realized that people don't look at the pandemic the way I do. People don't look at the way the world's being run the way I do. You know, there's just things are happening here. There's a lot of things that are happening. And do I have any tolerance on that? Or is my way the only way? I have to take a look at that. Am I a demonstration of principles? Do you know what principle you're going to have to use to do this fourth step? It's courage. You're going to have courage to do the rest of this fourth step. So if you're ready to do that, you're going to avoid retaliation and argument. And I'm going to ask God to show me how to take a kindly and tolerant view about this pandemic.